The Lord's mercy is on you.
The EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network presents...
Believe the impossible and you can do the incredible.
Fulton Sheen.
A prophet for our times.
What a blessing is our faith.
Hello, I'm Father Andrew Apostoli, a member of the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal. Welcome to our series on Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen, A Prophet for Our Times. We find ourselves today in this beautiful church of St. Agnes. It's located on East 43rd Street in Manhattan. This is a church that was very much associated with the life of the late Archbishop. He came here in the 1930s to preach. He came up on weekends when he was teaching at Catholic University, and he would preach in the New York area. And this was one of his favorite places to preach. He came here again in the 1970s after he retired as Bishop of Rochester, and he preached from this beautiful church of St. Agnes. I should point out to you, the church was very much damaged by a fire in 1992. It sustained severe damage, and because of that, the whole interior of the church has been renovated, redecorated. But it is the same structural church in which Bishop Sheen had preached a number of times. What he was famous for in the 1970s was preaching on Good Friday, the seven last words of our Blessed Lord. Over 50 times in his lifetime, he preached about the seven last words on Good Friday. And he said that each time he preached, he always gave a new set of themes based on the seven last words of our Lord. I remember an uncle of mine telling me he came here to St. Agnes on Good Friday. There were so many people, the church was so filled that the people were standing out on the street, on 43rd Street, right here in front of St. Agnes. They had big loudspeakers so that the people outside the church could partake of the bishop's preaching, could hear his wonderful words, inspiring words. This street became so connected with Bishop Sheen that they gave it the name Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen Place. And there's a statue here in the church, beautiful little statue of Our Lady holding the Christ child, commemorating Bishop Sheen having preached here many, many times. His preaching, he was certainly gifted as a preacher, as a lecturer. I had the opportunity to hear him not only at my ordination when he preached at my ordination mass, which was a homily that I've listened to on tape many, many times. It inspires me every year on my anniversary. I try to take out the tape and play it to be inspired by the words of the great Archbishop. But I also heard him again when he gave a day of recollection for priests up in Hyde Park at the old St. Julian Aimard Seminary. It was a wonderful day. I remember there were 250 priests came from a number of states to hear the Archbishop speak on the priesthood. This was one of the greatest joys of his priestly ministry. He said this, the most meaningful and gratifying experience of my life has been giving retreats to priests. And he said that it was that this was so gratifying to him because not only did he have an opportunity to help these priests grow in living their priesthood, but he himself felt renewed as he reflected on the priesthood for his own life. And so it was a kind of spiritual renewal for him, as well as for the many priests that came to hear his word. I know in my own life, my own sense of priesthood was enriched deeply by the writings and the tapes of Bishop Sheen. I listened to many of his tapes, the retreats that he did after he retired as Bishop of Rochester, and I find them very rewarding. Someone was telling me recently that he said, I've listened to his tapes about 10 times, and each time I listen to those tapes, I get something new out of it. There was much there because he put much into it. He was a great, great speaker. Another time I heard him speak was at West Point. He spoke at Eisenhower Hall at the West Point Academy, and I remember there were over 2,000 cadets there that day, and he certainly... It was a very inspiring talk. And I remember many of the cadets afterwards came to greet him. I had the opportunity, when he had finished his talk, to go backstage and say hello to him. And I remember one thing that happened. With his left hand, he took my right arm and he held it while he shook the hands of about 15 different cadets. And then he turned to me and he said, "I am so happy to see you have remained faithful." That was his great concern, was that priests be faithful to the vocation that they had received. And he did all he could by word and writing, preached word and the written word, to inspire priests to love their priestly vocation. But he wasn't limited to preaching only to priests. He used to preach to students. I remember there was a college down in Philadelphia that every year he would give them a day of recollection. And he also not only preached, he gave talks in many, many colleges and universities. In fact, he said toward the end of his life, it was mainly to secular universities that he went to preach, because he received many invitations from them. And he said that on secular campuses, they were looking for God. And he certainly was one who could lead them to them. And he said one of his favorite themes was to preach Christ, preach about the crucifixion, preach about the need of sacrifice. And he said the more he did, the greater response he got from those who heard him. He also ended up preaching in prison. And he had a great impact on the prisoners. One prison he began his retreat. He didn't want the prisoners to feel that he was someone above them, that he was someone better than them. And this is what he said to them. He said, "Gentlemen, there is one difference between you and me. You've been caught. I was not." In other words, we're all sinners. And that's how he began his talk to a group of prisoners. So Bishop Sheen, when he preached, loved to preach before the Blessed Sacrament. He himself drew the power and strength of his words from Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. And he knew that if he could bring his listeners to closer to Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, especially to inspire them to make a Eucharistic holy hour, if possible, every day, he knew that his message would take hold. He knew that those who heard him and were touched deeply would in turn touch others. And therefore, that message would keep on spreading. And so he was a man who affected other people deeply. In one of his prison retreats, he said he heard confession of a prisoner who had been convicted of four consecutive crimes: stealing a suit, stealing a car, forging a check, and committing a robbery without force. And for this, that prisoner had to serve 26 years of a life sentence. Because of the way the New York State Sullivan Law was written, it meant life in prison to be convicted four times. And when he spoke to this man, when he returned home, Bishop Sheen called the governor and asked for a pardon for this prisoner. He felt that he had certainly served far beyond the measure that his crimes deserved. And one night, Bishop Sheen got a phone call at his residence, and it was the man who was set free from prison because the bishop had, asked this pardon from the governor, and the governor gave it. And the man called Bishop Sheen and expressed his gratitude. And Bishop Sheen said to him, "Well, what kind of job did you have in the prison?" And the man said, "Well, I was a cook in the prison." And the bishop said, "Well, hurry over here. You're going to make a meal." And that man ended up being a cook for Bishop Sheen for a number of years. So he deeply and permanently affected the lives of very, very many people by his gift of preaching. And today, as we reflect on that in this beautiful church of St. Agnes, we're inspired by his words. He knew that a bishop's first task is to teach and to preach. And he certainly was faithful to the mission that God gave him as a bishop of the church.
the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Let's return to Fulton Sheen, a prophet for our times, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
You know, Bishop Sheen, he had a great sense of humor, and he often injected humor into his talks. One time, he was getting a haircut. He was in a certain town where he was going to be giving a talk.
I was talking in upstate New York on one occasion, and I went into the barber shop in the afternoon of the lecture. The barber did not recognize me. He said, "Are you going to that lecture tonight by Bishop Sheen?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Do you have a ticket?" I said, "No, I don't." Well, he said, "All the tickets have been sold. You probably will have to stand." I said, "You know, it's a peculiar thing that every time I go to hear that man talk, I always have to stand."
Story is told that Bishop Sheen was traveling and he got off a train in some little town.
I was once giving a talk in the town hall of Philadelphia and I lost my way. And I asked the boy, "Where is the town hall?" And he told me, I do not remember the exact address, but something like 12th and Chestnut. And he said, "What are you going to do there?" I said, "Give a talk." "On what?" Well, I didn't want to tell him that I was talking on my usual subject, which will be my subject this afternoon, the occipito frontalis, of the convolutistic convolutions, of the metaphorical obliquiarum palpearum. So I simplified it, and I said, "Well, boys, I'm going to talk on heaven and how to get there. Would you like to come and find out?" They said, "You don't even know the way to the town hall."
He said one time, told a story about a professor, a priest rather, who was giving a talk. The priest was giving a talk, and in his audience was a heckler. And he was making a lot of comments as Father was speaking, and he was sort of getting on Father's nerves. And finally, at the end of the talk, which the priest had given on Scripture, this man, wanting to sort of ridicule the priest and ridiculing Scripture, he said, "Father, now tell me, how is it possible that Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of a whale? How is that possible for a man to spend 3 days in the belly of a whale?" And Bishop Sheen said, the priest answered, "Well, I Scripture says he spent 3 days in the belly of a whale, but I couldn't tell you how he did it." He said, "But," I says, "when I get to heaven, I'll ask him, and I'll let you know." And the man said, "Well, supposing he's not there?" He said to the man, "Well, then you ask him." So he had a sense of humor. When he was speaking with Pope Paul VI, and the Pope said to him, "Bishop Sheen, you have written and spoken such wonderful things about Jesus," he said, "I'm sure you're going to get a high place in heaven." And Bishop Sheen said to the Holy Father, "Your Holiness, is that an infallible statement?" He also knew Pope John Paul II. I learned that Pope John Paul II often looked at
Bishop Sheen's videos. That was one of the ways in which he kept up with his English, was listening and watching the videos of Pope, of Bishop Sheen, his Life is Worth Living series, and probably the other videos that that he had made, the other retreats that he had given. So there was some correspondence between Pope John Paul II and Bishop Sheen. And it's interesting, although Bishop Sheen died little past the time that the Pope had finished his first year as Holy Father, Bishop Sheen already at that point predicted that Pope John Paul II will go down as one of the greats, the great popes in church history. And many people do talk about calling him Pope John Paul the Great, the impact that he had. And Bishop Sheen sensed that. And there was a correspondence between the Holy Father and Bishop Sheen. I know I've only met the Holy Father once, that I even spoke to him. I was in an audience. It was at the end of a little reception line. And I had with me two little prayer cards of prayers that were approved for private use by the Archdiocese of New York. And I presented the two prayer cards to them, to the Holy Father, to show him that. And I told him that we were working to try to promote the cause of Bishop Sheen, and the Holy Father acknowledged that. And then I asked him to bless our efforts, and he made a little sign of the cross over the two prayer cards. And I do believe that the Holy Father's blessing has been a help to us. And after all, he is the Vicar of Christ. And I know the esteem he had for Bishop Sheen was shown when he came to New York, the famous encounter that the Holy Father had with him in the sanctuary of St. Patrick's Cathedral, when he embraced Bishop Sheen and said to him, "You have written and spoken well of the Lord Jesus. You have been a loyal son of the Church." Again, I think short of canonizing him, I don't see how you can say anything more beautiful about a person than the words that the Holy Father addressed to Bishop Sheen. The dying words of St. Teresa of Avila were, "I am a daughter of the Church. I am a daughter of the Church." And Bishop Sheen was a loyal son of the Church. He had two beautiful gifts of the Holy Spirit, among others. One was the gift we call the sensus fidelium. These are not charismatic gifts. These are a sense that the Spirit brings about in a person. The sensus fidelium is an ability to discern what is true doctrine from what is not. It's almost an instinctive sense of discernment. I remember when I studied theology, when we studied different doctrinal statements. Some of them were divine faith. Some of them were, de fide, what we call de fide, of faith. Others, close to faith, proxima fide. Some of them were theologically certain statements. Some of them were, just common teaching of the Church. And I remember sometimes we would use the expression of something that was not very stable, not a very good opinion. We would refer to it as offensive to pious ears. And Bishop Sheen had pious ears, and he could tell what was right and what was wrong, what wasn't right, what was wrong. St. Clement Mary Hofbauer, a Redemptorist saint, once said, he said, "I have a Catholic nose," he said, I can smell when something isn't just right." And that's part of that gift of the sensus fidelium. It means literally the sense of the faithful, that, again, the Holy Spirit gives to those who live in their Catholic faith and cherish it, hold on to it, know it as they should. They have a sense of discerning when a teaching being given is accurate and when it's not. Another gift that he had, another sense, was the sensus ecclesiae. The sensus ecclesiae meant literally the sense of the church. In other words, the Holy Spirit brings about in a person a sense of being able to think and to feel with the church. When you find someone who is a very loyal Catholic and loves the church and her teachings and always tries to fulfill their responsibilities as a Catholic Christian, many of them you see have about them this sense of this, they're a man or woman of the church. Again, just in terms of what I shared when the Holy Father said that Bishop Sheen was a loyal son of the church, or in the same manner that Saint Teresa of Avila described herself as a daughter of the church. There was a certain faithfulness to being a member of the church, and that comes with that beautiful sense of the church, the sensus ecclesiae.
I'm sure there are a lot of unmentioned saints, and I'm sure there are millions and millions, but if people wanted to name him a saint and felt that it would really help their lives to know that and to have him as an example, I definitely think they could, because if somebody works that hard for God, and if they weren't a saint, it would be a big surprise to me. There wouldn't be much hope for the rest of us.
And he quoted the little flower by saying, it doesn't take a whole lot of time to become a saint. It just takes a whole lot of love. One of the things that Bishop Sheen seemed to have a great regard for was joy within a person. I remember once being at the Missionaries of Charity, Mother Teresa's community in the Bronx, and seeing a sign there, and whether it was Mother's saying or not, I'm not sure, but it said, joy is a sure sign of the Holy Spirit's presence in the soul. And so Bishop Sheen, I believe, had that same sort of conviction. And one time there was a story told that he visited a seminary, and he went to visit all of the seminaries. They all came out, and all of them are very, very joyful and happy, you know, to have seen him. But one seminarian was there with a very, very sad face, and Bishop Sheen said to the rector, he says, I don't think that young man has a vocation. He's not very happy. So he looked upon joy as a sign of a person's being where they should be or doing what they should be doing, because the Holy Spirit gives us that joy and peace when we do what we should.
For more audio and video tapes by Archbishop Sheen, contact Keep the Faith Foundation at www.keepthefaith.org or write to Keep the Faith Foundation, 50 South Franklin Turnpike, Ramsey, New Jersey, 07446.
Join us again next week at this time when Father Andrew Apostoli examines the life and work of Archbishop Fulton Sheen here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Mm-hmm.